gotta get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl, put some back and some makeup on it. While I stand up in the back. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the TryGames.net podcast. We are at episode 15. Today is Sunday, August 13th, and I am here with two people sans nose. We have no Ethan today, so we'll be noseless, but we do have Tony, who has a ponytail.
Yeah, and a pacemaker.
And we have Alfred.
Yeah, yeah, you got me too, so what?
Yeah! Yeah! All right, today, for our main topic, we'll be discussing story in games. Not good stories or bad stories, but actually just the concept of how story is usually executed. You know, how important is it? What are the positive and negative effects of story in games, depending on how you present it? The different types of story the different types of execution that you get for story in games, things like mm-hmm. that. But first, we'll start off as usual with the news and with a couple of TryGames segments, a couple of embarrassing moments. One which involves flatulence that I'm sure Tony will be happy to present.
I will not.
But we're going to start with the usual. What are you guys playing, and what are you looking forward to in the horizon? Who wants to start? Who wants to fart?
Let Al go.
Al can
I
go.
Can start, sure.
Start.
Yeah. Yeah! So at work, I'm playing Trauma Center now, which is very frustrating, but
that's
very,
DS, right?
Very fun. Yes.
Yeah, the DS.
Okay.
And, you know, I was playing a little bit of Guilty Gear, but I've been owning that game, so I was kind of putting it down for a minute.
How does that compare to, like, Marvel vs. Capcom 2?
It's simpler. I'd say Marvel's Capcom 2 is much more fun because of the complexity and the amount of activity you have to do to pull out combos and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For Guilty Gear, it's kind of just like, okay, B, B, Y, 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 forward A, mm-hmm. back A, up A, down X, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. Whereas, okay. like, you know, everybody knows Marvel's Capcom's like, light, medium, down and heavy, and then, you know,
air
light,
combo.
Medium, heavy, dash, light, medium, super.
Interrupt
the super in the middle, and then switch out somebody else, and then do another super. And you know,
I embarrassed Austin with who was it? The robot girl from I forget
Roll?
What she said. Roll and who did? Oh, the Red Robin, B Hood or what's her name?
BB Hood.
BB Hood.
Baby Bonnie Hood.
No, but she's a special move. She's not a character on her own, is she?
Yeah.
She is in Marvel vs. Capcom 2?
Yeah, remember?
Oh. Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Yeah, remember?
I must not remember, because after you took out one of my guys with that soul girl, I beat the rest of you.
No, that's crap.
Well, with BB Hood, she pulls out the hunters, and she's got, like, ordnance under her skirt?
Yeah.
Ordnance?
Yeah, ordnance.
Got Molotov cocktails and grenades and shit.
And landmines.
Machine gun.
See, the thing is, I thought she was a helper character for one of the other existing.
Yeah, Marvel vs. Capcom 1, I think. Yeah.
No, she wasn't a helper in 1. I'm saying in 2, I thought she was someone's special move. Like, she comes out for a couple of. I don't know, I could be wrong.
No,
I forgot.
No.
She's her own character.
Yeah.
Okay, that's weird, because I stick to the Shotokan and Morgan and shit like that. But yeah.
at home, I'm still playing Warcraft, of course. And I'm still trying to finish Majora's Mask so I can play Wind Waker. But I'm really mm-hmm. trying to get to something new, like maybe finishing Paper Mario so I can play Paper Mario 2, or maybe settling down with some Metroid Prime 2 Echoes.
Oh, boy.
You know that's never going to happen.
Talk about all that.
It's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm. That's a hard game, man.
One game I'm looking forward to now, ever since reading, I think it was like a GameSpot article on it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Command & Conquer Tiberian Wars. Command & Conquer 3, basically.
Really?
And, yeah, because...
Tiberian Sun?
No, Tiberian Wars.
Never
it's
heard gonna, of that.
It's a new one that's coming out.
Oh, it's new. I'm going in a Wayback Machine.
Basically, what they're trying to do is, something that hasn't been going on with RTSs lately.
Uh-huh.
They're actually trying to come up with a good, compelling storyline to complement the excellent RTS, so mm-hmm. that you can be compelled to play the single-player game. Because you know how most people, they jump into RTS, and all they do is just play online against other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people who want the story, they just get, like, some half-assed story.
Yeah.
So,
Tie-in! Tie into today's topic.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah. Because it's some things I just didn't mention. But anyway.
Okay, there's no more prognosticating from this point on.
Prognosticationist. Okay, go ahead.
What about you, Tony? What are you looking forward to? What are you playing right now?
Well, I'll start with what I'm playing.
Besides the
noodle. Anyway, yeah, I just got True Crime, New York City.
Oh, okay.
Just started playing that, and so far, unimpressed.
You are?
You know, because it starts off in the beginning with the training mission again, which it's just so useless. I mean, I understand for this game, they have to, like, retrain you from the last game, okay? Mm-hmm. Ideally, if they kept the same principles, you know, because I'm more of the what's not broke, don't fix it, you know, that kind of thing, okay?
Yeah.
And here it is, they have a new kind of format for showing your badge, showing this, you know, doing roles, you know, battle system and stuff.
Yeah, the controls totally changed.
Yeah, yeah, and the aiming is, oh my god, it's so quirky. I really can't get used to it. I'm going to have to play it a little bit longer, but this is a first impression of the game. I played it for about an hour yesterday. Mm-hmm. And got into the first mission where you're on the streets where you got to search like three guys and stuff. And
yeah.
So far I could tell that it's not like the first game where you could frisk the people you want where you know who are guilty on the street. Okay, like if they don't look at you in the first one, you know they're guilty,
mm-hmm.
and you'll get
yeah, well,
a 100%.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you'll get a 100%. All the time. And this one, I'm trying to figure out who the guilty ones are because I don't want to keep on searching random people. That was one of the things that was fun in the other game. You know, I'm doing a mission and, oh, shit, he's not looking at me. Get over here. You know,
well, no, Tony,
you know that kind of thing.
In this game, as opposed to Streets of L.A., you can actually plant evidence on people.
No, I know that, but that gives you a bad cop rating.
Sort
so,
of.
Yeah, yeah. I really don't want to.
But you can spice it up.
What yeah, I know. It's a novel idea, but it's kind of... Oh, just to give everybody the disclaimer, my game I bought used, but it came with this white piece of paper. I don't know if yours came with the same thing, Al, that says, this game is not sponsored, affiliated, or
yes.
associated with
the NYPD.
NYPD
oh,
and
wow.
does not enforce the tactics or some other
That's
shit.
Interesting.
Yeah,
that's funny.
A total disclaimer.
Total
wow.
disclaimer. And it's on a white piece of paper. It's not in the instruction booklet. It's almost like they want you to drop this and say, hey, what's this? Mm. Oh, it's not. Well. Like,
yeah. Well, one,
you know,
one thing I want to say, Tony.
Yeah.
If you want to see quirky, go to the Manhattan Bridge. That's it. Just
really?
Go right up the Manhattan Bridge, and you'll see the quirkiest thing that you could ever do. You want 100% rating on people for drugs, you go to Manhattan Bridge, and you get the same guy over and over and over and over again.
Bug.
That sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I'm going to love this game. Look for my review on TriGames.
Uh-oh. True Crime New York City, review.
What are you looking forward to, man?
At least... Oh, man. Oh, God. I'm looking forward to... let's see. I'm looking forward to... a new computer. a better heart. None of this has to do with games. actually, I don't know. I have nothing that I'm looking forward to. I have no...
Sad panda.
Yeah, I have no outlet to anything new so long as I have my existing stuff. And that's kind of a downer, isn't it?
Kind of.
It's a money saver.
Yeah.
So there you go.
It's not.
I suppose I'm up now.
That's
you
right.
go now.
I have
That's
to
right.
speak. Shit.
Shit. Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Shut up.
You have 20 seconds to comply.
Shut up. I've been playing... I actually managed to put in like an hour of Ocarina of Time sometime
Again.
In the past week.
Jesus.
Yeah, finally, after like a three-month hiatus, but like... When I say an hour, I mean I put in about 45 minutes to an hour of progression, but it took me like 2.5 hours to actually do because I had a splitting headache.
Stop and then, being hungover!
And then after that, no, I don't know what it was. It must be like the fucking allergies in my apartment. But yeah, so that was the only 3 hour like block of time that I had to sit down and play that game.
Right.
So I was like, I'm gonna
play
this game.
What is your thing with that? Are you like do you like get disinterested or do you want to play something
else? No, it's
else? I mean
with Zelda and with a lot of RPGs that aren't portable, mm-hmm. I need to set aside a big block of time so that I can sit down and just do it. Because
right.
if I sit down for half an hour and try to do something, I feel like I'm not gonna accomplish much because a lot of I shouldn't say the appeal, but a lot of the intricacies of those types of games is exploring and experimenting and finding things out. So
that's
if I spend about half an hour exploring and I get nowhere, I feel like I've wasted my time.
Also, that game has way too many side missions and mini games and
I'm not too worried about the side stuff. I just want like if I find them, I'll find them. But I'm more concerned about just finding the next dungeon that I need to go to and playing it.
Right,
and so
right.
If I have a big block of time, I'll know that hey, eventually I'm going to find something and I'll have accomplished something. Or in Final Fantasy, I'll be like, okay, well I've found this town, I've at least gotten somewhere. But if you give me like 15 minutes, not really. That's why that's why it's better for me to play. RPGs on portable because I have a big, like, 1.5 hour commute to work and from work. So I can sit down and, you know, dedicate my time to
those things.
Well,
yeah.
You know what you're doing, right?
Como?
You know what you're doing.
I'm prolonging the game experience.
Prolonging the inevitable confrontation of Ganon. And, wait till you see that battle.
Yeah, he's pork.
You.
That's okay.
I love it.
In my, like, half an hour blocks of time, I've been playing. I actually got Tomb Raider for the Xbox 360, as well as Ridge Racer 6. And Ridge Racer does not. Ridge Racer rarely changes from game to game, but like that's my guilty pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So like, even if it's the same game, I have to have the new one.
I feel the same way. Yeah.
So, Tomb Raider Legend is surprisingly good.
Oh, okay.
Like. I mean, I got it based on what I've been reading about how surprisingly good it is, and I would have to agree with him. The gunplay is horrible, you know, but it's more about the... Did you play Prince of Persia? The newest ones. The 3D ones.
Let's see. Prince of Persia, Sands
Any
of
one
Time.
Of them. Sands of Time.
Yeah,
things like
Sands
right?
of Time.
So, like,
did
you know
not
how,
like it.
You didn't like it?
Did not like it.
You're a horrible
angles.
Human being.
Camera angles were just off the map, and...
But don't you control the camera?
No, not really.
I thought you did, because I can control my camera.
But anyway, when you're crawling against the wall to try to jump to an opposite pole, okay, controlling the camera and doing that at the same time is kind of, you know...
But you can stop and move the analog stick, though.
Yeah, no, you can't stop. You could
you can.
Go back in time and, you know, reverse.
Oh, you mean when
time.
You mean in midair?
Yes.
Well, I mean, that's why I usually adjust the camera before I make the jump.
Okay. Well, maybe that's my problem, because I expect the game to do that for me.
I'm
lazy!
Well, the thing is, I actually don't like when games do it for me, because I find mm-hmm. that they don't do it the right way. Like, Super Mario Sunshine had some of the most horrible camera shit ever, and, like, it was hard to control the camera. Al, could we control the camera in Sunshine? No, right?
A little bit.
No,
not,
we
not
could.
Like you
a
could
little
in,
bit,
Not like
yeah.
you could in Prince of Persia, though.
Mm-mm.
Or even in Mario 64, it wasn't
yeah,
the same thing.
But for
yeah,
some, but for some reason, Mario 64, like, the camera angles, they got it mostly right. Whereas
yeah.
in Sunshine, they kind of used a half-ass excuse
talk
of...
about that game.
Yeah.
Oh,
whereas
God.
They used a half-ass excuse of, if Mario was hiding behind, like, a block, they would show a silhouette, and that's all
Jesus
because they...
Jesus Christ.
You know,
that game was horrible.
Yeah. But in terms of Prince of Persia being... although you had a lot of sword combat, it was more about the platforming...
Mm-hmm.
And you know the climbing and the swinging and like you know getting from place to place, which was fun.
Right.
That was a more fun aspect of it for me. Yeah. So Tomb Raider is very similar to Prince of Persia in that respect, in that most of the action is emphasized on platforming and exploration instead of just shooting. And the shooting is horrible, but like everything mm-hmm. else is great. And I like that because I remember in the previous Tomb Raider games, like she controls really smoothly, but in the previous games she controlled like Resident Evil. And it's like if you're a Tomb Raider, if you're like Miss Indiana Jones and you're
mm-hmm.
trying to find artifacts and you're trying to jump mm-hmm. from place to place, you don't want a game that controls like Resident Evil.
No.
And
no,
so they finally
no,
changed
no.
it up, and it's good.
I gotta say, I've only played Tomb Raider 1 on the PlayStation, and I haven't gone any further.
Triangular boobies.
Yeah, same here.
God damn it.
Even
is that what
that
you're
game.
Buying it for?
Boobies. Oh, that's what they, that's what they were marketing it for.
Boobies. Yeah, that's of what course they are. For. That's what Dead or Alive is all about. Yeah. I mean, come on. You know? Oh, man. Whoever remembers Dead or Alive volleyball?
Oh, God. But, listen. Yeah. Yeah, let me get to what I'm looking forward to. I'm starting to really look forward to Valkyrie Profile for the PSP and the second one for the PS2.
God damn it, I need to play the first one.
PS1. Well, the one on PSP is a remake of the first one.
I know.
I need to hear
about
in
the middle
games.
Of Valkyrie Profile, like near the end or something. I still haven't finished it. Yeah.
Yeah, I like played it for about 2 hours. I loved it, and I never played it again. So I'm like, okay, I got to finish it.
Yeah, I put like
and
10
even
hours into yeah, it.
Even though I have the home version, like I said, I have more time on the road, so
yeah,
I should probably I'll get the PSP version. And then the second one is coming out. I don't know when, but it's coming out soon, and that looks pretty sweet.
This is on PSP.
The first one is on the first one is a remake for PSP. I'm sorry, the one coming out on PSP is a remake of the first one.
Okay.
And the second one is an all new game for PS2.
Okay, I've never heard of these games, so now that you said that, I got something to buy for the PSP.
I thought you played Valkyrie Profile before, no?
No, I have not. Okay. Never even heard of it.
Okay, well, it's a profile of Valkyries. In Valkyrie Land. With profiles.
Okay.
Profiles. Okay, moving on. Let's get to our little segments here. We've got some ranty McRanters in here about the worst game ever. Now, mind you, this won't be the worst game ever, but some of the really more turbulent games that we've had the displeasure of experiencing, and I know that Ponytail Tony wants to go first, so take it away.
I'd like to revise my worst game ever.
Revise it?
Yeah. Super Mario Sunshine, people.
Worst ever?
Yeah, worst game in memory. I gotta tell you.
Are you serious?
This game,
I didn't think it was that
this,
bad.
Oh man, then you haven't played. Listen,
oh yeah, I have. Oh, I have.
I'm way too much into this, and it's been, you know, maybe about 30, 40 hours or so, you know, just doing all the side things, you know, going to this place, that place. One of the worst things about it is that you have to go get stars from, like, special levels. Like, you remember Mario 64 where you go to these special levels
exactly
and stuff?
About,
and, you know, these, like, fun side games and stuff like that, and you could get a star from that. Yeah. On this, they give you the most obscene fucking, try to control jumping on blocks that are moving and just, and the, it seems to me that the action is not in real time. So I always misstep or always miss the block or do that. Not only that, the game itself has a difficulty level of, like, from 1 to 10, it's 20. Okay? So when you get to the later levels, it's just ridiculous. They put so many things, and they're all obstacles that you're supposed to have fun avoiding, or, you know, all things that you're supposed to have fun finding, and it's not fun. What the hell is going on with this game? What did it try to be? It's not Mario anymore. They tried to make it like Super Mario, Easter egg hunt. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. I mean, it just went on and on and on with the same missions, only like more difficult. Go up here, you know, find this, jump on a leaf, you know, avoid this thing that's dropping things on your head. You got a water bottle. That's your only weapon. And, you know, you could get a boost. You could get a booster, fan thing, and you got to get rid of the graffiti and use your weapon to get rid of other things. And
I thought that's what was strong about it.
What are you trying to be? I mean,
I
like,
thought that's what was strong about it. It gives you a lot of objectives. I didn't like it that much, but that was mostly because of the shitty camera and the scavenger hunting.
Well, the camera, of course. You know, I didn't touch on the camera because
That's another 20-minute tirade from you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but to me, it was like this game was trying to do a lot more with the Mario series than it should have. Okay, and I didn't know what they wanted to appeal to. I didn't know
whoever
if they
liked
wanted
Mario
to
64. I think is what they were going for.
Yeah, but that game was nowhere near as retarded as this one. I mean,
agreed.
This game was like, you know, this game. I don't know what it wanted to be. I really don't. It's like, okay, you get graffiti, but you have to fight everything else, and you have to use your water bottle to, like, you know, in a trick style to solve this puzzle. What? You know, so that's it.
Wow, that's a strong statement. I never heard anybody even consider that for anywhere on the worst. No, I'm saying that's a strong statement. I'm not objecting to it. I'm just like impressed. by your ponytail and your ineptitude. Al.
Man, I don't know.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
You know, I've been thinking all the time about what could be the worst game or a game that I bought, and I'm like, God damn, I wasted money. But I can't really think about it. I mean, I don't really know.
You don't have to have bought it.
Like, you know, well, I like to buy games that are, you know, bad. And either I like them because they're bad, or I hate them because they're freaking bad. Mm-hmm. So I think I've got one that I like to play that's bad, but it's not really that bad.
Well, if you like to play it, then that disqualifies it from the list.
No, because like I just said, I like playing games that people would think are bad. And I'm going to put this one out there. And nobody else probably has played this game, like at least among you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to say it is Super Magnetic Nunu.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Well, actually, you did play that game, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yes. It's, you know, your basic platformer.
Wait, but is this one of your worst games in recent memory that you think is a worst game and that you don't like?
Well, I try my hardest.
Because I thought you liked it.
I try my hardest to beat it, but I cannot. I can't bring myself to play that game for more than, like, 25 minutes. I really want to, and I kind of try and enjoy myself, but
it's impossible.
It's possible, but it takes a whole hell of a lot more willpower than
what
I
got. No, I'm saying it's impossible to enjoy is what I'm saying, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, sometimes you can enjoy it. I mean, basically the part of the game that makes it worst game ever is the shitty control. Like, the control scheme, basically you're third person behind the back.
Yeah.
And you're running around, jumping and shit. The timing of the jumping has to be extremely precise. You're walking, and you can, like, I swear, you stop walking, and the poor boy just continues to walk and falls over cliffs.
What?
Or you'll be trying to, you know, mitigate enemies and stuff like that, and it's a one-hit killer, so...
Oh, God!
You get sometimes a little bit of the collision issue, where you're, like, clearly not touching the motherfucker, and you die. Or you'll jump on him, and, it would be something that you can jump over or jump on, and dude dies. And you're like, what the fuck? I killed this guy. But overall, the magnetic stuff was kind of fun, but it's a very difficult game to bring yourself to beat.
Or enjoy. I got one that, and I'm sure that on the site, let's see, my review on Try Games of this game is pretty curt. It's pretty short. It's about one line. The game is Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball, and the review, all right, this is one of the worst reviews I've ever written, but I don't think it deserves anything from me. It says, this game is absolute shit. Stay away. That's the entire review.
Well, it doesn't say shit. I'll tell you what it says.
It says
$!
Number!
Sign,
exclamation point seven. .7.
This game is absolute $! exclamation plus.
Stay away.
Stay away. Try games like that.
Stay away from me. Coming back. Horrible game, and I'll tell you why. They use almost one button for almost everything. They use one button, the B button in the game. Is A or the B button? I don't know. It's from an overhead perspective, okay? A completely, like a Zelda perspective, but even more bird's eye than that. It looks directly down. Because you know how Zelda, you see, when you see Link walking, like, up, you see his back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So it's not, it's three quarters. It's not directly overhead. This one is directly overhead. And when I say directly, I mean you're looking at the top of their head. You don't see their back or their front. You just see the top of their head.
Okay,
so, in a game of basketball where the objective is to jump and shoot the ball and you're supposed to release at the top, well, near the top of your jump. Not at, but near. How do you tell when they're at the top of the jump?
Don't they get bigger? Don't they have animations for, like, a blown-up head or something?
Yes, they do, and it looks horrible. And there are no physics to speak of whatsoever. The ball misses, it just kind of goes bong and, like, rebounds all the way to the other side of the court.
It goes, yeah!
It goes, yeah! There's some stupid, shitty, like, Arch Rivals NBA Jam pushing going on in it, but
yes.
They use the B button for that, too. They use it for everything. And then they're, like, these little razor blades that, you know, kind of come on the court and stuff, and it's kind of ridiculous, it's kind of stupid, but if you're looking for a weird, quirky basketball game that doesn't just do basketball, I guess that could pass if it weren't for the fact that they use one button for everything, and the controls are... It also had the stupidest title screen I've seen. Well, it's not that stupid, but I just
That's
think it's stupid
one.
Because I hate the game. But yes, when I say worst game, this is the type of stuff I'm talking about. The unplayable tripe that, I don't know, Hudson Soft? How they do this to themselves.
Made Jackie Chan's big-headed
Action
fighter.
Yeah, but that was actually a decent playable game. That may have not been a great game, but it was playable and it was halfway decent.
Yeah.
And Hudson Soft is responsible. Hudson Soft is responsible for Bomberman.
And
Bomberman's cool.
Yeah.
And Adventure Island. But Bill Laimbeer's Combat Shitskitball? No.
Yeah. Well,
no Bill Laimbeer, no.
Yeah, dude, good call on that one.
Oh,
that was
God.
Good call. I just have to say, if you're gonna go back to the NES, please, you have to do Super Mario McFly. That'll be
what?
Back to the Future 1 and 2.
Back to the Future 2 and 3.
No, 1
it's
and 2.
It's the same game. It's
oh, no,
the,
it's
no,
2
and 3
right,
is on the same cartridge.
Game.
Yeah. One, part 1 was like
one was
a
horrible.
Top-down. Yeah,
oh, God.
Top-down.
Yeah, LJN and something.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And then 2
what was
and
that
3,
a cover publisher for?
LJN?
That was LJN.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was
so,
LJN Acclaim, I think. Yeah,
yeah,
so it was Acclaim.
Acclaim owned LJN.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was essentially part 2 was a horrible Super Mario ripoff.
I did see that. I did see clips of
no
that.
Point.
I saw clips of that. That was horrible.
You're expecting things from the movie, and you're like stepping on snails and shit. It's like fucking
yeah.
ridiculous. It's
and
yeah.
You know,
I saw a video
funnier,
of that.
Okay.
You would never be able to play part 3 unless you knew flux capacitor is the power.
All right. Well, I mean, we're coming upon the moment that we've all been waiting for: Tony's fart story.
Oh, God.
Embarrassing game moments in
why do we have
in,
to go to this first?
Because it's funny.
All right, well, okay, here's the story. It has to do with Virtua Tennis on the Dreamcast.
Oh, boy.
It has to do with me being over my brother's house. His wife is Italian and makes Italian food, you know, pasta and sauce primarily.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, every time after we eat, we always get really fucked up gassy. I don't know what she put in that food, but I was there with my brother, my father, and my stepmother, and we're sitting down playing Virtua Tennis, and all of a sudden, the gas is just building up in me. Just building up, building up, building up, and I tried to hold it for hours, but it had to come out. It had to! So it was a silent but deadly one.
While you're playing Virtua Tennis.
Yeah, while I'm playing Virtua Tennis, and my stepmother's sitting next to me, so she goes, "Ooh, Edwin!" She goes to my father.
Oh, not
you,
but you're, oh no.
Yeah, to my father. He's like, "What? Oh, that wasn't you, Eddie!" She goes to my brother. My brother's like, "What?" And I'm laughing my ass off at this point. I'm really laughing my ass off. I'm like, you know, trying to stifle it. But she goes to me, and she's like, "Oh, Tony, that was you?" And I just fucking busted out laughing.
And you
okay?
lost the match.
Yeah, so you know, my brother starts laughing, okay? And she starts laughing, and I just said, I let out a gassy oily. So my father says, "You did what?" And I repeated the statement. I let out a gassy oily. Okay?
Oh, my God.
And
oh my, God.
My father starts laughing. And all of a sudden, he fucking bursts.
Oh, Jesus.
He bursts. So now we're just fucking laughing hysterically. We can't even play this game anymore. This game is dead. For the next 15 minutes, we were just laughing at ourselves. And that's it. Game over. Night over. Yeah, that was embarrassing.
That's putting all of ours to shame, I think. But Al, would you like to redeem yourself and try to think of one, or need I bring out the shameful Resident Evil experience that you explained?
Should I bring one up for Ethan since he's not here?
Ponder that over while I bring up Al's. This one is for Al because he's incompetently unable to think of one. But this is when Resident you is not. This is when Resident Evil, the remake, came out for the GameCube the first
Director's
time.
Cut?
No, the GameCube.
Oh,
GameCube.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
Yeah. So, and, you know, it's a lot scarier than it was before, so...
Yeah, it's beautiful.
We're sitting there, I'm sitting there in Al's apartment with our other friend Rob, and mm-hmm. Rob has played... I had never played the PlayStation 1 version. Al, I believe you didn't want to get through it, so you didn't really play it either, right?
No, I got killed by the first enemy.
Oh, in the PlayStation version?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's horrible. That's embarrassing all itself.
No, see, I was playing with Chris, and I didn't know that you had to run out and then have, what's-his-face shoot the zombie, so I was trying to kill him with the knife. And I was like, fuck this game.
That's embarrassing, too. But,
yeah, but nobody was around to see that.
Yeah. But, that's okay. No one was around to see me shoot the floor in fear. Except myself and the cat, maybe. But, so, we're playing it in Al's room. Me and Rob are just, like, sitting elsewhere in the room just watching the screen. And it's, like, it's at night, so the lights are off. You know, and the door is very slightly open. The window's open, so the breeze is coming in. But that comes in later. So we're sitting there watching Al play this thing. And I had played only maybe about the first half an hour of it, but I had gotten through it. And Al hadn't played it yet. So we're watching Al play and just going through. And there's this one hallway where dogs come through the window in the PlayStation version.
Mm-hmm.
You go through the hallway, they come crashing through. And I'm sitting there, and Rob goes, oh, that's that shit. And I'm sitting there going, like I'm laughing to myself because I had passed that part, and I knew that in the remake they changed it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like sitting to myself, saying to myself, like, no, it's not there anymore. And Rob's like, that's that shit, dude. And Al just turns around and goes, what shit? Tell me what shit? What are you talking about? I don't like this game. I'm not gonna play it anymore. I'm like, Al, just play it. No, man, what shit? Rob's like, you'll see. And I'm sitting there laughing, and he's just like, okay, so. He passes through the corridor, and, you know, nothing happens. And Rob's like, oh, I guess that's not that shit. I guess I didn't remember. And at this point, Al, like, goes past that corridor, but he has to come back through that same corridor about 2 minutes later. So he goes, does whatever he does, gets scared by, like, a dog or some shit, and, like, we laugh at him. And then he comes back around to that corridor again. And at this point, the wind starts picking up a little bit outside, so the door to his bedroom kind of goes,
oh, shit.
And he's like, what? What is that? What is that? And it freaked the shit out of me, too, because I was sitting right next to the door. So I'm like, whoa, shit. What is that? So now we're all on edge. You know, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to close the door. We're all on edge, except for Rob, because Rob is a judo kung fu master, so he doesn't get scared by anything except for bees. And so Al comes through the hallway again. He's all calm. He's like, okay, that was just the door. Right at that moment, the dog bursts through the window and grabs him by the neck. And everybody's screaming.
Mm-hmm. Everybody in the room is screaming.
Everybody. Uh-huh. Because Rob didn't expect it, because Rob had played the original version and thought the dogs came through the first time. I was scared because of the fucking door. All right, and I screamed. I wasn't scared, but I screamed just out of reaction because I was scared by the door and everything else. And then, like, dog came through. And I was also scared because Al screamed like a lady. I'm kidding. He doesn't scream like a lady, but still.
Shit.
I got another Dreamcast embarrassing moment for myself.
Okay.
I was playing. This was back in college when we were playing NBA 2K1 in the dorm back in sophomore year. We're playing 2K1, and it's. The 2K series is one of the first series that lets you block shots from behind, like, in a really realistic manner. And whenever you block a shot in the game, it's, like, extremely satisfying because it's very realistic and you can, like, really swat them out of the freaking court. Or sometimes you just... Whatever. It's realistic and that's the point, and, like, it's really satisfying to block a shot. So my roommate's going up for a layup or a dunk or whatever, and I come up from behind him with, like... With whatever team I was playing, and, like, you know, I swatted the ball out of his, like, cleanly directly out of his hands, and it went out of bounds, and they showed the replay. And I was so ecstatically happy that I, you know, I was still holding the controller. And I was like, yeah, that's right! And I jumped up with, you know, the controller in my hands, like, my hands raised above my head. Now, mind you, the Dreamcast is sitting on the dinner table.
Oh, God.
Next to a stack of CDs.
Oh, shit.
And DVDs, okay? And I still had my controller in my hand. And when I, like, stood up and, like, put my hands up with the controller in my hands, the wire almost pulled the Dreamcast straight off the table.
Mm-hmm.
But what it did, the Dreamcast stayed on the table. What didn't stay on the table was a pile of 30 CDs. They all came crashing down. And lest I forget to mention, I was in the company of all three of my roommates and seven of their friends. So I was just kind of standing out there with the controller in my hands, grinning, and then looking at the floor, and then watching everybody smirk at me as I had to pick everything up and put it back on the table. So, yes, no gloating when people are around the house. But I think Tony wanted to wrap this one up with one from Ethan that Ethan's not here to defend himself with. So take it away.
Poor Ethan.
Go ahead.
Oh God, there was one time that we I had this game X-Men versus Street Fighter on the PlayStation 2.
Yes.
And I'm not going to get into why it was, inadequate compared to the arcade and stuff like that. I'm just going to get into that, even though with its inadequacies of not switching out characters, holy crap, was that game fun, okay?
If only you played it for the Saturn.
Saturn sucked.
The Japanese Saturn one,
actually had
the ability to switch out characters.
Well, I wouldn't buy that system on a dare anyway. So, Knock the system. Anyway, so, Ethan is really getting into... Well, he didn't get into the game initially. He just sees, like, when you do your special moves, like, the pictures of the characters come up. Like, you know, Ryu comes with, like, a flashing thing, like a background flashing.
Hadouken!
You know, that whole shit, right? Okay, so he sees, like, he's like, this is stupid. Why are they showing the pictures of the people while you do this? And he's like, I can't get into this game. So we were like, Ethan, just try it. He was like, all right, fine. What's the buttons? So we're like, okay, if you want to play Ryu, and he's pretty much the easiest, it's down to forward, this button to fireball. So he does that, and he's like, okay, what's next? If you want to do down to back and the kick button, you'll do the Tatamakizu Bukabiyuken. You know what that was? So he does that, and he's like, okay, what's else? I was like, okay, you're never going to be able to master this, so don't even try. He was like, no, just tell me. All right, up to jump, back to block, down to duck, you know, go forward to move towards me, you know, back, you know, all this shit. But if you want to pull off a dragon uppercut, you got to do forward, down, forward, and the punch button, whatever punch button you want to be stronger and stuff like that. He's like, yeah, I got it.
Uh-oh.
Meanwhile, he's playing it, and he's like, what move? What was that move again? So we're, like, beating the shit out of him. And he's like, what was that move again? So I was like, down to forward, guys. Down to forward and the punch button. So he does that, okay? And he's like, ah, I got you. And we're totally avoiding what he's doing, because we could actually hear him trying to pull these moves off. Okay?
With the, like, click, 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 click with his controller.
He was like a maniac. So he's like, and not pulling off anything, okay? So, lo and behold, he's getting used to the game. We're still beating the shit out of him, okay? But he has to stop. Not because he's getting better and he's just tired of the game, but because he didn't get as good as we are, and he had a huge fucking blister on his thumb.
Are you serious?
Gigantic fucking blister. I've never seen a blister like this. It was like another thumb, okay? And he was like, oh, man.
With three thumbs.
He was like, oh, man, I don't think I could play anymore. I was like, you better not fucking play anymore.
You think?
And he was like, and he would stay there, and he's like, man, I'm in love with a game. I can't believe
it. Are you serious? What are you sucks at it?
Well,
you hear that,
there
Ethan?
You go.
You suck. All right, we're going to run through three small news bits pretty quick. Let's see what we have first on tap here. We actually, Al, I think you actually posted it on the front site. Why don't you give it a whirl?
Yeah, Square was, like, talking about some stuff.
That'd be great. Talk about some stuff.
Don't be vague.
We got Final Fantasy XI out here, and people are still paying for that game, although it's a big-ass grind. And then they're like, yeah, we're going to bring out Final Fantasy XII sometime in 2006. And, we got, like, three versions of Final Fantasy XIII coming out. I hope you guys don't mind. So then...
I hope you guys don't mind.
After that, he started to talk about, like, the fact that they acquired Taito.
Mm-hmm.
And Taito has ends in the hardware industry, you know, like arcade machines and all
right.
that other stuff.
Yeah.
And so Square is thinking about making a hardware device, kind of like an iPod or a DS. It's portable. It'll probably do something. And it's electronic. And it's hardware. But we don't know what it is.
Is it electronic?
They just said that they're going to make something that's electronic.
Here's the exact
hardware
quote.
Portable.
Here's the exact
Does
quote.
Does it have a plug?
Here's the exact quote. He observed Yoichi Wada, who's the president of the company, he observed that the outstanding examples of successful products in the recent past, the Nintendo DS and the Apple iPod are hardware. The strategy behind Nintendo and the iPod to create a new environment based on hardware is completely valid, but this is impossible if you don't have the experience making hardware. This is one of the reasons Square Enix will collaborate with Taito, a company that produces physical hardware. In our talks with Taito, ideas for an actual physical product have come up. In any case, we will be releasing some thing. This is his quote. We will be releasing some thing.
Yep, not something.
That's an industry term.
Thing.
Yeah.
It's interesting in that it's interesting in that it's not the sort of thing you expect from Square Enix. Uh-huh. What do you think this is going to be? I got a lot of cynicism with this brewing in my ass.
It's going to be an electric
vibrator.
I was going to say that's already made. It's going to be a gunblade, and then they're going to go under fire cuz people are going to start hacking and shooting each other. They're going to make a real gunblade.
I can only imagine that they'll probably make, a console that plays nothing but movies and, lets you press one button. Because that's about all that they've been doing lately. With the exception of Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy XII looks promising. I know, Tony, I know you played the demo. You said it was pretty bad, so I'm
no,
scared.
I didn't play the demo at
all. Oh, you didn't?
I said I shied away from playing the demo.
Oh, okay.
Shied away from playing an unfinished product because that always... Listen, when it comes to the any industry... It's always sell the sizzle, not the steak. That's it. So I shy away from that.
Okay.
So
you keep yourself fresh for a full game.
That's right.
Okay, so you didn't play. For some reason I thought you played them. I'm sorry.
No. I gave a good rant on why I wouldn't play it. Yeah.
But if their recent games, it's really funny because they were talking all about in the same conference. They were talking about all innovation and change and all that stuff.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah. What have you changed? Oh, you brought cinematics out into the open. And that's about it. And that's all you've been doing for the past 5 years. What change have you brought? Oh, we're going to make a hardware thing. I don't know. Something. We'll wait to see what that is. Next one.
A thing is not a promising. It's not promising. That's just not.
The next thing, and this is surprising, actually. This is from NextGen.biz, and the title of the article is that EA goes cold on the PSP. Mm-hmm. And this is what it is. Okay. EA's head of development, David Gardner, has warned Sony to pick up its act in the handheld war against the Nintendo DS. The firm's VP and COO of Worldwide Studios told UK trade paper MCV, "I don't think Sony can afford to sit back. They still have things that they can do with the price and performance of the machine, things that they need to address." EA says it has shifted its handheld priorities since DS began pulling away from the PSP. There's no doubt that EA has historically bet more on PSP. This is true if you look at the launch lineup for PSP had tons of EA games, but anyway, "I think we were excited by the technology, but consumers have proven that actually what they want is fun. We must never forget that what we need to focus on is fun, and so EA whores, is putting more effort behind DS games and creative ones that really take advantage of the hardware," which is bullshit because they just put Harry Potter on there, which is the same thing as every other Harry Potter game, except sticking little mini-games where you can wave your wand. But I digress. Yeah, this is surprising because in the past, EA was huge on the PSP, and they're like, "Yeah, we're gonna bring Need for Speed Underground thing for the PSP," and a lot of the PSP launch titles were EA games, and EA went on record a few months ago, and I don't have the quote to back this up, but I know what happened. They said a couple of months ago before the revolution, I'm still calling it that. was starting to pick up steam, and they're like, "Yeah, we plan to fully support the PlayStation 3, and we plan to fully support the Xbox 360. Nintendo's up there too." You know, they kind of an offhand aside remark.
Yeah.
You know, so they kind of dumped on that.
We'll get to Nintendo too.
Yeah. and they, you know, they did the same thing to the DS back then. They're like, "Yeah, we got some stuff for that thing. Yeah, two screens. Cool. Yeah.
The thing.
Yeah." And then, recently, I think EA was saying that, EA started getting more and more excited about it. And then, you know, finally we get this version of Madden that you can actually throw the football, with a throwing motion instead of just pressing a button. And, you know, they dedicated an entire studio to developing a Madden game for the revolution. Or the Wee!
And that's,
you know, so
it's
just an interesting, change of events. And, you know, a lot of cynics like me are probably see what stupid mistake you made in the beginning. Now look at what's happening. But, yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that with such a powerful brand such as Sony, you know, that EA is actually kind of shifting gears now. I'm just surprised at that.
Well, they were.
Because all they want
right.
is money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, no, they were right in that. You know, that they need to do something about the price of the, you know, PSP in general, and that's right. why it went down to $199. I mean, right. you know, they minus $50 off the off of the thing.
Well, the thing is, I think isn't it $199 without the whole value pack stuff?
It's just $199.
It's $250 with the value pack, but $199 without the pouch, without the headset.
I did not know that.
But regardless, that was still a good move because like a lot of people were just like, I don't care about this pouch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about these headphones. I have headphones. Why do I have to pay $50 extra for all this stuff in the
package?
You
still get the memory card?
Right. No, you don't. But the thing is like. The thing is, why would you spend an extra $50 for a pouch, a headset, and a 32-megabyte memory card when you could spend $200 just on the PSP, which they have now, which is good, just $200 on the PSP, and then get whatever size memory card you want for whatever money that you have without having that little 32-megabyte thing lying around that you don't need to use and that you spent $50 extra bucks
on. Well, then you're going to have to buy third-party peripherals. I mean, you're just
I mean, you don't have to buy a third-party memory card. You can buy a Sony memory
card. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, the covers and stuff like that.
Right, but, like, again...
This is a very fragile system, and
but,
for $200...
Yeah, but again, the thing is, like, it's like, they give you crappy headphones. They give you a crappy pouch. They give you a crappy memory card. So why not go out and buy the core unit by itself and get your and use that extra $50 and put it towards a better memory card?
Wait,
a
here's
better,
the selling point. You
a better carrying case, like the Logitech Play Gear, and better, you know, headphones. So
here's the selling point. Does it come with the demo software?
Oh, no, it doesn't! Oh, no!
Well,
I want to see the I want to see the preview of Shaolin Soccer, yeah!
Here it is. Contains the Sony PSP and AC adapter and battery.
Okay, so yeah, right. So that's it.
No frills.
And that's a good deal. Like it was a good deal. It's a good deal. $200 for that machine, you know. Mm-hmm. And the price is inflated $250 only because they pack in all that extra stuff that you know people really don't. Like when they came out in Japan with two packs, you know, and then it didn't come out with two packs in the United States. Some people were upset. They're like, I don't want this, you know, headphones. These headphones they suck.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good thing that they did that, but. There's a rumor going on, this leads into our next story, that next and final story, that the price will actually drop again for the holidays. This is from GameSpot. The source is Chris Morris's Game Over column on CNNMoney.com. And let's see. Analysts believe that a price cut for the PSP is inevitable sometime later this year. Mm-hmm. The PSP's current suggested retail price is $199, but American Technology Research's PJ McNeely believes that the handheld's price will fall to $149. I'm trying to find anything based on fact in here, but it looks like it's all just based on conjecture
speculation.
Yeah. So this is stupid. But it makes sense in a way, because how long has the PSP been out? Like, it came out...
Yeah, only that, but what's their competition except for the DS? I mean, like, not Game Boy Advance. I mean, like, you could buy those bottom dollar now. I mean, you know. So, what's going to be their competition?
Besides
nobody.
The DS?
Yeah, nobody. Nobody. It's not like they're coming out with a new portable system that they have to maintain the price or drop the price for. So, they'll probably drop it, what do you think, $50? No, I think, like, $20, if anything. I mean, it doesn't make sense, but either that or drop it $175.
Well, I think a price drop makes sense because, like, even though we're saying, like, what's their competition, the DS is huge competition. That's all the competition they need to motivate them to drop a price.
Mm-hmm.
That really is all they need. If the DS is out there, like, in this, I think in the States, like, the DS and the PSP are kind of running neck and neck, but elsewhere in the world, the DS is, like, stepping on this thing, like, every day.
I didn't know
that. It's, like, squashing it.
I didn't know that.
Which is surprising to me. But, so, I mean, it's to the point where the PSP really does need to... This is why EA was saying all that stuff. Like, they need to really get their shit in gear.
Well, how much is the DS like?
$130.
Yeah. So it'll probably drop down to $150 if it's that big a competition.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think it's going to drop down to $150 and then Nintendo
could
respond.
If there was another portable coming out that was made by, like, Xbox or something like that, and it was, like, $250, they wouldn't drop the price. They wouldn't drop the price at all, you know, because...
Why do you say that?
At $250 or $300 for an Xbox portable, they're really marketable. I mean, they're affordable. So I don't think they would, because, you know, everybody's a bunch
They're
of
They're affordable,
nowadays.
But then the DS is even more affordable. They still have to consider that area.
Well,
of the
no, that's I'm saying if it wasn't for the DS giving them competition. Okay?
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? In their perfect world, if there's nobody else to give them a next-gen portable system, then there's really no reason to stop what they're doing. You understand what I'm saying?
If the DS weren't there.
Yeah, if the DS wasn't there. Okay, but now that if you're saying that the DS is stepping all over them, of course, yes.
Oh yeah, you should take a look at these sales numbers from like Japan. You know, Japan may be the smallest market, but like it's a driving force in the game industry. You know, like, people like to say, "Oh, Japan's a small market," but that's bullshit. So what? They drive a lot of the software that comes out. They drive a lot of the trends that come out. So for anybody to ignore Japan is just ignorance on their part. And, like, the sales numbers, like, let me pull this stuff up here. Well, here's actually U.S. hardware numbers. For July, American hardware numbers, the DS was the top-selling system at 377,000 units for July.
Okay.
And the PSP is 5th behind the Game Boy Advance.
Whoa.
By 2,000 units. The PSP sold 161,000 approximate units. So that's surprising. That is surprising to me, because I know in the States that people have, like, there are a lot of people who like the PSP. Every time I'm on the train, I see people with a PSP.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's just surprising to me. And in Japan, it's even more skewed. It's, like, on the order of, like, a 3 million, 5 million advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Over in Japan.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's crazy to me.
They're getting killed. Oh, man.
And the Next Generation also put out a list of the top, what was it called? The top, like, 50 games, top 50 portable games this century that was based totally on sales.
Mm-hmm.
And there was only one PSP game up there. The rest of them were Game Boy Advance and Nintendo DS games.
Mm-hmm.
So which says that the PSP, the second highest selling PSP game didn't sell more than, and I wish I had the article in front of me, but didn't sell more than like 500,000 units, I think. Everything else was all Game Boy Advance games. Everything else was DS games. And then there was like Grand Theft Auto, which barely hit the million mark.
Yeah.
And all this comes as a surprise to me, because I thought everybody was high on the PSP.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I guess this hopefully this price drop will, you know, encourage more of that now.
Uh-huh.
But I think that does it for the news. We're going to get to our topic, which is story and games, like I was saying. Do you guys... Well, I think... I'm actually not sure of your view on story and games, Tony. I don't think we've ever had this discussion. So what is your overall take on like how people deliver story and how the different methods of how they deliver the story, whether in-game or by dialogue or by text or by cinematics, and is it good for games? Is it bad for games? How important is it to like your having fun with a game?
Well, I'll give two contrasting views. I'll give Final Fantasy VII, which someone already spoke of, and then I'll give you Final Fantasy X. Okay? Both of which have a very in-depth storyline. Okay, both of which require you to either find out the story through text or listen to a long audio thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, in Final Fantasy VII, it was all text. Every single scene was text. If you get into a cutscene, it was text. If you get into this thing, it was text. Okay, the cinematics were beautiful, but after that, you get text. Okay, which means you have to read all the text, and some of it was really, really unnecessary. Okay, some of it was like subplots and stuff like that that you really could do without. Okay, when it comes to Final Fantasy X, all of it was unnecessary. I can't even tell you how much this game fucking angered me. I wrote a review on this. It's so bad that it made me want to like throw. Have you ever thrown your handle at the PlayStation because the game was so fucking bad?
At the wall and the screen, but never the machine.
Preach.
Here it goes.
You motherfucking PlayStation.
Exactly. Not even that. It made me want to fucking just bury that CD. It was so bad. I have a tack hammer around here. I would painstakingly break it into a million pieces if I could find that game again. But anyway, what happens is you start off the game and they show this cutscene. Looks really beautiful. The graphics are awesome, right? And then then you start the game and they show the same fucking thing again. Okay, and you're like, what is going on here? You know? And then they, you know, have the stupid-ass dialogue with these subpar actors, okay? And every single, like, there's 5 minutes of action when you start the game, mm-hmm. and, like, 15 minutes of talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's
goes like that until the game ends.
And not only that, my biggest fucking gripe with this game is that the same scene you've seen in the beginning, okay? The same scene you saw in you know, after you press start, they play it again when you get to Zanarkand.
I remember. Yeah, I was like, "Why?"
I saw this, and it's like, "What are you following up? What the fuck are you doing? God damn it! I'm trying to play this fucking game. Do you want me to get to the end? I mean, do you want me to get there? What the fuck do you want me to do?"
Wait, hold up, guys, hold up. Tony, do you have enough oxygen there? Do you need like
no? I need
like
a tank. God damn, nothing angered me more than this fucking game. And, you know, there's other things that I didn't like about this game, but the subpar acting and the unnecessary fucking dialogue was just a killer on the whole fucking game. Maybe if they just, like, had somebody go, "You ready? Okay." And that was it? Then I'd be into that game. No, it's not like that.
Woosa.
Titus, Woosa. Where are you from? I'm from somewhere else. Titus, how's my hair? It's fine.
Woosa.
Waka, you're the only one that could attack flying animals outside of magic.
Oh, that was stupid.
Come on, man. It's like, this is fucking stupid. So, to get into stories and games,
before you go on, anytime you have a video game that lets you attack enemies with a ball, be it Final Fantasy X or Michael Jordan Chaos in the Windy City, is an excellent game and should be nominated for Game of the Century. Go ahead. So I mean, how does this bear on just in general, like story
well,
and
in
games
general,
and how they deliver? Like, what do you
in general
what are your thoughts
on that? Outside stories like this? Okay, mm-hmm. Things that make you wait to play the game, okay, mm-hmm. are they detract you from the actual game? They detract you from the excitement of the game. They detract you from the enjoyment or the conclusion of this game, because after reading or listening to all this tripe, you're like, why am I playing this? You know what? Mm-hmm. You know, if I wanted to hear a story, I'll go to an old age home and listen to 80-year-olds talk to me about, like, you know,
when I was your age, just one time, I played my Atari 6900, and a banana fell out of the front porch. And when I ate the banana, I turned 80, and that's why I'm in this home right now.
So you basically think that, here's a quote.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not an exact quote because I don't have the time to find it now, but
right.
The gist of what John Carmack over at id Software said. John Carmack is one of the lead programmers for Quake and mm-hmm. Doom and those games. He said story in games is like story in a porn film. It's there because it has to be, but it doesn't really have to be substantial.
Yes.
Now,
this
is not a direct quote from him. He said something very, very similar to this. I'm just trying to paraphrase. So is that what your view on story in games is? It's just like, if it's there, it's there, but like...
Not necessarily.
But don't spend too much time on it? Or is it like a case-by-case basis?
I won't. Not necessarily, because I've seen some atrociously bad porn movies. Actually, when it comes to porn movies, storyline is not necessary. There's only one goal, and you know what that goal is. So, in a game, there's a goal, okay? In a game, there's a goal, and if you need a story to forward that goal, it's got to be succinct with the story, and it's got to be concise. It's got to it's got to be limited to the storyline. Without all these outside fucking conversations, I don't want to know, you know, if Tifa has, you know, D cup tits. I don't want to know. You know, so
59 D 1000 cup.
Yeah.
We were just talking about porn, so that's fitting.
So that's my take on it.
Well, and here you can both jump in here, but taking what you just said now and kind of expanding it further, what if you would you ever find yourself having the desire to experience a great playing video game with a great epic story, a deep emotional or fantastic story along with your gameplay, or is that just kind of like I don't care,
well,
I'd rather watch a movie for that? I'm just throwing it out there.
It's got to be consistent with the storyline. I mean, like, if they're going to be talking about like side things, like for instance in Final Fantasy, you know, you had the side story with Barrett and his hometown and stuff, and they had all these conversations. It was really not interesting. I don't care about Barrett. Barrett sucked. You know, so...
That was awesome, dude. You look like Mr. T.
And he cursed.
And he cursed. He said ass.
No, he said shit in the beginning of the
game. Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
But it was
like
SHI apostrophe T.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, I honestly am now looking for games that have excellent gameplay combined with excellent story. And I've played my share of games that's been like, you know, excellent gameplay, shitty story. Or excellent story, non-existent gameplay. Or Final Fantasy X. sometimes if I'm really into a game story, I will want to play through a shitty game just to get the story out. Mm-hmm. And that's just something that I don't know. I like, first of all, I like reading, so I don't mind the text.
Right.
And I like to get that emotional feeling from those stories that like I kind of feel movies don't present sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And that you get a lot more creative opportunity with a video game because sometimes you're not spending that much money, so you get to do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I like stuff like that where, like, Phoenix Wright, you know, all it is just reading text, and you gotta make decisions and shit. But when that shit started getting tense and dramatic, I was loving it. I was all over it. And, you know, it's not like Phoenix Wright has excellent gameplay. It has okay gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's, you know, stuff like Zelda where, you know, you get your story fused into excellent platforming, puzzle solving, boss fighting, and onages. And it's like, you know, that makes Zelda the, you know, a very great game to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then it leads me into, you know, Command & Conquer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that the new Command & Conquer is going to focus on an excellent storyline to fit with their, as they say, fast, fluid, and fun gameplay that they're working on. And that way I can go and get my my strategy down and rack my brain, have the headaches and stuff, and then when I'm finished, I get to see that next part of the gritty drama between GDI and Nod and now this new faction that's going to come out.
Right.
And then there's Warcraft. Not World of Warcraft, but the actual RTS Warcraft.
Yeah. Right.
I'm actually about to get started playing Warcraft 3 again because I keep reading on stuff that exists in World of Warcraft, and it all happened in Warcraft 3, but I never really played it enough.
Then you're not really missing it.
I played that game for the multiplayer. But the thing is, I am missing it because people ask me questions, and I know, like, half the story sometimes.
I really can't get into that game. That game was, to me, was bad. You know what you would like, Al, as far as storylines and game? Resident Evil.
No. I can't. I can't get with that. Because, like,
you almost became a Jill sandwich.
I played Resident Evil Zero, but Resident Evil Zero didn't provide enough motivation for me to play through Resident Evil. You know, it's like the story was just like, alright, yeah, Umbrella's fucking around with some biological shit, and you find out, oh shit, there goes, what's his face? The dude with the one arm, that Tyrant.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh wow, that's Tyrant. Oh, we tried to kill him, but we managed to just get away, and we know he's in Resident Evil 1, and you can't kill him there either.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just like, okay, I'm just waiting for the part where Rebecca Chambers gets bitch slapped by Wesker in Resident Evil 1. That's like the only reason why she's in the first one, but then she's got this whole role in Resident Evil Zero, which doesn't really coincide with any gripping storyline.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's why I like playing games that, like, you know, a game will come out, and then like 3 years later, they'll come back to that story and continue
it. Right,
or they'll come out with a game and come out with a prequel. Those kinds of things.
This is my little beef with the story thing, though, and, and this is coming directly, Al, from what you just said. Why does a game have to be... Why does the story have to be the motivating factor behind the game? Why? Why can't the game have its own merit and be played on its own merits? Why does it have to be continuation? Why does it have to be the same story? Why is everything so focused on something that someone conjured up? Why do we enjoy Zelda so much? The story is different from game to game to game.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even know what the correct timeline for the Zelda games is, because we don't know anything about the story, and all it is save the... Most of it is save the princess, and sometimes they involve, like, a dark world and light world, but my whole thing, and the reason why I'm so pissed at just the concept of story in games in general is because people are like, oh, I didn't play this game because it had the same story. I had this one friend who said, oh, I never really played the Castlevania games because I didn't like the way the stories weren't really contiguous with each other and they were inconsistent. I'm like, what does it have to do...
Dracula! That's your goal!
Wait. What really pisses me off is that, like, how... Why do you have the audacity... And I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about people in general.
Yeah.
How can people have the audacity to sit there and say, this game, I'm not going to play it because the story doesn't continue, or I can't get it. Why can't a great game just be a great game on the merits of playing it? And that's what bugs me about story, is I love a good story, right? But if a story doesn't continue from one game to the next, if Ninja Gaiden on Xbox has nothing to do with Ninja Gaiden on the NES, I couldn't give a shit. Because it's a good-ass game. If Metroid... let me finish. If Metroid... You know, if they made a future Metroid game, okay, and spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't played Metroid Fusion on the GBA, Metroid Fusion is the latest game in the Metroid saga, and technically she eliminates all Metroids. Like, all the Metroids in the universe are gone.
Well, right? That was done in 3.
So there should be, huh?
That was done in 3. She killed the last Metroid. Well, she didn't kill the last Metroid. Last Metroid committed suicide for her.
Okay, well, whatever. Whatever the case may be, future games shouldn't have the title Metroid. Now, if
exactly,
they did,
that's what I said.
Now, right, but if they did, I'm not going to sit there and go, that's stupid, I'm not going to play it.
Right.
And some people will, and I think that's totally balls. Like, that's taking everything, the essence of a game, where we sit down and we interact with it with the controller, and we participate in it, and we have fun, like, moving objects, destroying obstacles, and fighting enemies and stuff. And just because this one little detail is inconsistent, it's annoying, but then they come out and say, oh, this game is... The story didn't match. Yeah. What kind of bullshit is that? You know.
Well, as far as Metroid goes, it's brand recognition. That's it.
Yeah. Well, no, I know, but like, what I'm saying is,
if Metroid 2 was Metroid: Samus Returns. They tried to include Samus.
No, that's not the point. My point is saying that like there are people out there who will like just not who just won't understand the need to play a game if the story doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I can pretty much answer that, though.
Go ahead.
Okay, go for it.
Basically, sometimes people just need to have a feeling of why they're there. Sometimes people don't, you know, watch movies because a certain actor isn't in it. Sometimes, you know, for example, if there's a movie that starred one actor and that actor declined to star in the sequel to the movie and they decided
Batman!
You know, replace him. No, but Batman's different because Batman, they just kind of... It just didn't work out.
What didn't work out?
but anyway, some people will do that. And then sometimes other people will not play a game because they just don't find their place within the story. I mean, it can be an excellent game. And it just for some people value the fact that they're... reason for playing the game is to continue something that they started.
Okay.
All right,
now,
perfect.
I can understand that makes sense. If the game had excellent gameplay and they just totally mangled the story of it, they should just name it something else. Like, for example, I can definitely attest to the Metroid issue. When they said they were going to make another Metroid, I said, well, why are they calling it Metroid? Why can't they just call it, like, you know, The Adventures of Samus Aran or something like that. And, of course, that's brand recognition.
Right.
But what they did with it, and I was like, oh, God, watch them, like, bring out some Metroid from, like, out of their ass or something. Like, oh, there's this Metroid over here, and it survived. Yeah. And
or there's a mutated one. Yeah.
But what they did with the story was that they converted it and made it open-ended so that now you can actually continue to say Metroid because of the fact that Samus is now considered, you know, part Metroid.
Metroid, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And what they've done with the storyline was they've adjusted it, and they've changed with the times, kind of like how a band can last, like, you know, 20, 30 years by adjusting with the times. I like it when they do that, but then when they do something just totally asinine and just make shit up that wasn't there just so that they can continue the story, like, for example, in Warcraft, they're making shit up, like, left and right. They're coming out with new races for the expansion. And they're like, okay, well, this one race was here, and, well, they descended from people who were possessed by demons, but these sets of people weren't. And now they're traveling in some spaceship because their world was destroyed. And, now they're here, and they're fighting with you.
I guess my issue... is, like, you know, I understand that this is what people want, and like, the thing is, like, it's the same thing as saying, well, people want to listen to 50 Cent.
Okay.
Some people are stupid. I'm sorry. It's like, my whole beef with it is that, like, everybody wants, because gaming is such a new medium, and, like, even though it's been around since, you know, in mainstream marketable form since the 70s, it's been around before that. But in terms of a big industry, it's only been around for a couple of decades, as opposed to something like film and music. Okay, I understand this. Now, because it's such a young medium, okay, everybody is kind of unsure, well, what is a game? What place does it have, you know? Do we want games to become more cinematic? And this is a debate for a whole another time, but...
Oh, this, I could games, really
do,
get
know,
into.
Do they need to become more do they need to become more cinematic? Do they need to this, that? And it's like, games want to be... Everybody wants games to be like movies. Why can't games be games in and of themselves? And sometimes they will incorporate a great story, sometimes they don't have to, but regardless, if the game doesn't have good gameplay, it shouldn't be considered a good game. There are plenty of games out there with shit gameplay that have great epic stories and great graphics, and everyone's like, oh, this is a masterpiece. Even like critics on websites and magazines, I don't care what they you know, it's not a good game. A game is a gameplay first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And my problem with the whole story thing is that when it starts to get in the way and it starts to say that, oh, I'm not going to play X game because the story is warped, or, you know, this game is this game is bad because the story doesn't continue, or whatever, or like, fine, that's an issue with it that they have to resolve, but that doesn't make the gameplay any worse for it, and it's totally unjust and stupid to judge a game just because of that. Oh, this story was shit. And then you get into the point where people are like, oh, this game is great. It's got so many cinematics. It's got so much storyline and dialogue. That doesn't make a game. Maybe it'll enhance what's already there. But if nothing's there in the first place, don't come to me and tell me that this game is great because of the story.
Right.
I'm never going to accept that. And maybe I'm behind the times, or maybe I'm ahead of the times, because all people want to do is turn games into another medium that already exists.
Yep.
It should be its own medium. But that's whatever. That's my little... It's a little rant for the day.
But, you know,
good
you know
point.
What I think?
Yeah.
Another thing I think, really quick, a lot of the disparity here when it comes to cinematics and story and games also comes from where we are, and, you know, we're all people who we're all people who've been playing games since pretty much they've been blowing up, and that was at that time. At that time, it was something where you get a game, and it's a game. And it may not have any kind of story to it, but it doesn't matter, because what we're doing is we're playing games.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, for example, I'm looking at my little chest right now, and I can see three games right now that are pretty much just games that aren't really stories. Here's one, Crazy Taxi. Here's another, Cannon Spike.
Yeah.
Okay. And a distant third, Jack Ron Radio.
Oh, now, God. Oh, Jesus.
Now, wait.
Al, go ahead.
Listen.
Al, go ahead.
Now, the fact is, these are really good games, in my opinion. I love playing Crazy Taxi.
I agree.
And the whole point of the game is just to pick up people and drop them off. Pick up people, drop them off. Pick up people, drop them off. No cinematics, no nothing. Excellent game. Worth the $20 I paid for it. Although it could have gone for $50 and I would have paid for it, too.
Right.
Now, Cannon Spike has a shitty story, because all it is like, oh, there's people fighting the Earth. You gotta save them. Cammy!
People fighting the Earth!
Dragons on there! Right. You know? And then they just throw gameplay. Shit, like, left and right. You're like, oh, let's go fight them in an urban area. Oh, let's go fight them on a landing pad. Oh, let's go fight them in their lair now. And it's just, you know, let's just do that. And all it is really, how many people can you fight at the same time before you
die?
It's
a porn story.
Yeah.
And it's there great. Because it needs to be.
And it's a great game. I mean, if Cannon Spike was just stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, stage 4, game over, congratulations, then it would have been the exact same game.
Right.
I would have loved it all the same. But people, ever since, and I really do blame this on Final Fantasy VII.
I agree.
Final Fantasy VII is the catalyst for all of the people who don't really play games.
To play games.
Who want to play games.
Yeah.
To now move the direction of games into, let's make it more like a movie.
Yeah, I agree.
Because their 100%. First big experience, and the first big marketable experience that has gotten a widespread audience, has been Final Fantasy VII, which was sit back and watch a couple of nice little cinematics, read a whole bunch of text about some story that we've all seen plenty of times before, because there were six Final Fantasies before it that all had equally great stories.
Well, if not better.
Well, no.
Yeah.
What about Phantasy Star?
And Phantasy Star. That
yes,
goes
Phantasy
more to
Star,
his point.
Phantasy Star 2 and somewhat 3 and 4.
No, 4 definitely. Yeah.
Yes. Those were stories with also great games as well. I mean, it's games with great stories as well.
Right, right, okay.
What I'm trying to say here is that...
What I'm saying is that...
Many, many times before, and now Final Fantasy VII is all of a sudden the game that has the story that everyone wants to model after. Mm-hmm. And it turns the audience, it changes the audience from us to people who don't really play games. And that's what's so annoying about
it. Cinematic and story-based and epic and, you know...
Yeah, and that's what annoys us so much is that, you know, we're actually talking about people who don't really play games.
Or who didn't used to and now consider themselves as...
Or never used to either.
Yeah, and this is a great lead-in for next week's topic. On the front page, you'll see that Shenlong Bo has written an article about, you know, casual versus quote-unquote hardcore. You know, it's not the same exact demographic, but it speaks to just kind of people who play games. And the people who sit there and really involve themselves in it. And if you guys, listening out there, all two of you, go to the front page on Trigames and look for the article by Shenlong Bo. It is titled, and I will get that for you in a second. It's called "Casual Gamers Always Win Arguments Versus Hardcore Gamers: Ignorance Is Bliss." If you consider yourself a casual gamer, get ready to hate us. But you know, this boy speaks the truth. So go and read it. Any closing comments or parting shots before we wrap this up? No spam report today because it's getting kind of late.
Mm-hmm.
Any closing comments from Ponytail Boy or Mr. Al?
No, but I have lead-ins for this. You know, games versus movies and movies versus games. Not games being made into movies or anything else like that, but where I think the trend is heading. So I think maybe next week or who knows when, I'll give you an earful.
Mm.
And how is that different from any other week? <I'm just kidding. laughs>
Oh my god, I'm scooping it out of my ear now.
Scooping the shit out of the ear! Somebody get me a pooper scooper!
No, chilling, you know?
Chilling.
Play the games.
Alright, I guess that's going to do it then for this week of the TryGames.net podcast. Everybody, please send your mail and your interesting spam to mailback@trygames.net. If you didn't hear that address, it was mailbag@trygames.net. Mailbag at TryGames! Send us mail. Because you hate us and you don't send us mail, so send us mail. Do it for Tony. Tony begs for you.
For the children.
Do it for Tony. Tony needs a new hairdo. He needs the money to fund his hairdo and his new computer, so if you don't send us mail...
Do it for the pacemaker.
Do it for the pacemaker. For Tony, for Al, and for Ethan, who has a blister on his thumb because he can't play fighting games for shit, and is not here to defend himself, I have been your host, Austin, and this has been your TryGames.net podcast. Peace! Go ahead, girl.